First MetroSec is providing this podcast as a general market commentary. Reference to any specific security, product, or entity do not constitute as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments or to participate in any particular trading strategy. The statements, comments, views, or opinions expressed by the hosts are subject to change without notice, and First MetroSec is under no obligation to update, amend, change, or correct any of the statements, comments, views, or opinions expressed. The statements, comments, views, and opinions expressed by the guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the view of First MetroSec. First MetroSec disclaims any liability arising from reliance on or reference to any information obtained in this podcast.
Podcast Network Asia.
You are listening to First Metro Securities Philippine Stock Market Weekly Podcast, where we feature timely and relevant discussions on the Philippine stock market and the economy in the hope of providing you investing and trading guidance. Here's your host, Royce Aguilar, from the Research Department at First Metro Sec.
So good afternoon, everyone. What we will talk about today is what happened in the month of October. We have a lot of things to talk about for this month. I have lined up several topics for you guys to hear and learn about. Okay. So first of all, let's dissect which are the things we will talk about for today. So first, we will summarize what happened in the stock market for the month of October, and then what to watch out for in the month of November. And then we'll talk about SGP. I'm not sure if you... I'm hearing there are a lot of interest for this offering, but I wanted to share with you guys at least who is SGP, some advantages, some disadvantages. And then just like what we did last month, I will also discuss our notable outperformers for the month of October. And then next is our long-term picks. We have three new picks for you guys, three new buy picks. And then as always, at the end of this presentation, we will discuss two new traders playbook picks for you guys. So let's summarize what happened in the month of October. So in the month of October, the PSI further rallied. I must say it went as high as nearly or at around 7,300, but it pulled back and it closed to 7,054 earlier, October 29. Okay. So year to date, the PSI is just down by 1.2%. At 7,054.70. So at one point, we were actually positive for year to date, right? So let's discuss what made the market rally or go up in the month of October. So I think you will notice that there were implementation of softened restrictions in Metro Manila, not only Metro Manila, in other cities, as daily COVID-19 cases plunged below the 4,000 level. 4,000 level is a nationwide scale, okay? So that's something taken into consideration. That's something quite positive, especially we were coming from more than 20,000 daily cases at one point in the month of September, right? And August. And then another thing is there's also talking about the vaccination of children and minors and the resurgence of tourism in key tourist spots, right? There's also this discussion where I think the children below 18 years old will be started to be vaccinated in the month of November. So that's positive because at the end of the day, vaccination is the key for sustainable lower COVID-19 cases, just like what's happening in other countries. But what dragged the market, there were talks of, or at least data coming in, higher oil prices, fears of global inflation, right? And then at one point in the month of October, there's this factor of the PSA rebalancing where the inclusion of Wilcon resulted to a temporary drop for some of the index names. Right, but that was just temporary because that, just like what happened with the inclusion of ACNG and Converge, basically fund managers have to make room for the higher market cap name replacing the lower market cap name. So that was sort of a temporary drop for the market. But talking about what has been dragging the market for the past few days, it's higher oil prices and even some of a technical correction. And I will show you later on that we came from an overbought or near overbought level. That's why the market needed to take a breather. Last week, the third week of October, the PSI reached near healthy pullback so far, right? You will notice though that momentum has slowed down. You can see the MACD trading below the signal line. So people can still continue to ride the market's uptrend. Buy at current prices until 7,000. For trend followers, you can accumulate once it reaches a new year-to-date high. Okay? So basically, that's how we look at the PSCI right now. A healthy pullback, something to take advantage of. So to watch out for in the month of November, last 2 months in the year 2021, what do you watch out for in November? So there could be new variants. Earlier this week, this case of this variant that came from Mauritius, of course, it's not that, you know, significant yet as compared to when the Delta variant came in the Philippines, but it's something to observe if this is a variant of something serious, more serious, just like Delta, or is it not that serious? Of course, cold season, of course, that's something that can be a flu season, something that could be a weakness in terms of, you know, immune system. So that's something to watch out for, right? There could be further reopening ahead of the holiday season. And then inflation, something to really observe. The high oil prices in October, right? So I think this is one of the more important central bank interest rate decisions for a while. On November, how much the US will tighten, that could affect equity markets. Job support also, inflation, GDP for the month of November for US. And then GDP numbers for Japan and EU in the month of November. So for Japan, it's November 16, EU November 15. So for those listeners in the podcast, just to reiterate, for the US, central bank interest rate decision on November 3, job support on November 5th. That's all next week. And then another important data to watch out for in the month of November is the corporate earnings for both the Philippines and the US. We're seeing some pain already in the US, especially for the big caps like Amazon, Apple, reporting lower than expected earnings, right? For Philippines, we are looking forward for the earnings reports, especially for the reopening business such as the property and more bank earnings to measure how much improvement there is, right? So something to watch out for, especially in the first 2 weeks of November, bulk of the Philippine corporate earnings will come out. And then another important thing to watch out for is the MSCI rebalancing. I think that's in the second week of November. In the past MSCI rebalancing, the PSCI pulled back, right? That gave an opportunity for us to accumulate before the market rebounding. So this could be an opportunity, assuming the market does pull back again during MSCI rebalancing, because keep in mind, a pullback coupled with the prospects of reopening, that's really an opportunity to buy back or to buy at lower price, right? So MSCI rebalancing is something to look forward to. Especially, you know, there could be more names also that could be added, like Monday, AC Energy, right? So once they are added, prices could shoot up, especially for them. Some names included in the MSCI, just like the property in the PSCI, the bank-related names in the PSCI could correct. You could take advantage of those. So there's two angles. You could take advantage of the expected pullback for the reopening winners, in the, especially our picks, right? Which we will mention later. Plus, you could take advantage of the probable additions in the MSCI, like Monday, AC Energy. So those are two angles that we can take advantage of. And then, as always, COVID-19 vaccine-related news are important. And oil prices, global inflation. If you ask me, at least for the latter part of this year, what is something or something that could lead the way in terms of catalyst or risk for the global markets is inflation, right? So let's talk about SGP for a while, okay? I want to describe first the corporate structure of SGP, because some people are thinking SGP is equals to NGCP at some point, but to specify, SGP indirectly owns NGCP. Right, and NGP is the sole transmission operator of the country. So somewhat monopoly yan, si NGCP, right? It's 40% owned by SGP indirectly, right? 40% owned by this Chinese company. But basically, four involved locally. So we have Henry C. Jr. and Robert Cuyuto, right? Two big tycoons heading SGP. So in terms of investment thesis, so there's not really a recommendation here, something you could really take into consideration, both the advantages and the risk in investing. But keep in mind, SGP indirectly owns NGCP. So who's NGCP? NGCP is the only operator of the power transmission network in the Philippines. So just to provide a brief background, diba, pag yung electricity cycle niyan, from the power generation company, dadaan yan sa power transmission, then power distribution, tapos doon na mapupunta sa mga household. So, the transmission part, the sole transmission operator in the country is NGCP. Right? So that's how, you know, big a company is. The thing with NGCP, its earnings performance are stable and predictable. It has this performance-based review system where its revenues, expenses, and capex are predictable. Meaning, the NGCP's earnings are known ahead. Basically, there is a maximum annual revenue. So basically, NGCP's earnings are performance are stable and predictable. That's why for there's this relief, especially for long-term investors out there, that you know how much NGCP will earn already. That's the unique thing about this company. NGCP's dividend payout ratio is high. For the past 3 years, the dividend payout ratio of NGCP is around more than 70%. Ba? And then SGP's valuations is really cheap at 12 pesos of follow-on offering price. There's this around 5 times to 6 times, assuming a net income of at least 10 billion pesos, right, for SGP. So in terms of valuation, compared to Meralco at around 15 times, because siya lang yung somewhat comparable. So SGP is relatively cheap. But there are also risks. Regulation. As mentioned, NGCP's earnings are stable and predictable, but it's based on the concession agreement, which involves government also. So assuming moving forward, the next set of concession agreement for NGCP, I think the latter part of this decade, yung expiry or 2034 expiry ni NGCP. If there's a new concession agreement, of course, there will be new policies in terms of how much revenue, how much earnings can it incur. Diba? So that's also a risk moving forward. If just in case the rate moving forward is less compared to before, that could impact earnings outlook for NGCP. Consequently, CSGP also. There's this question pa rin na, okay, NGCP will give out dividends, but how much of NGCP's dividends will SGP give out to its shareholders? So that's something not that clear yet. But SGP's dividend payout ratio, I believe, is 100%. But at the end of the day, it depends on SGP how much it will actually give out. So that's something to take into consideration on investing in SGP, especially when, you know, when it lists again, when it resumes trading. So let's discuss the notable outperformers this month. You will notice that Manila Water outperformed in the month of October because it bagged huge projects in Pangasinan, a billion peso revenue project. I think it's 25-year project in Pangasinan. Then there's this 7-year project in Saudi Arabia. So those are projects that are not usual in terms of volume that Manila Water gets. So these are significant projects. That's why it resulted to Manila Water rallying. And then for SEC and DMC, they gave out special cash dividends. I think more than 5% yield. That's why you saw SEC, DMC initially rally at the earlier part of this month. But we saw these stocks significantly correct also this week, right? But nevertheless, they outperformed initially in the month of October because they gave out special cash dividends because they have this outstanding or outperformance in terms of earnings, right? And you saw Semirara's earnings that came out today is October 29. It's already at pre-pandemic levels, okay? And then for Petron, from always trading near 3 pesos, it's now at nearly 4 pesos because oil prices rallied. And how does it affect Petron? Because it has inventory. So the value of that oil inventory is now higher because of higher oil prices. And there's this expectation that oil prices will remain elevated, especially in the fourth quarter of the year because winter season na. You know, there's this need for coal and of course, it also affects oil prices also. So that could remain elevated. So consequently, the oil inventory of Petron will remain more valuable compared to earlier part of this year. And then property and banking stocks, despite the recent correction, they're still, most of them are still positive for the month of October because lower COVID-19 cases resulted to easing of quarantine measures. And there's this expectation of more easing of quarantine measures in the latter part of this of November. For RLC, one of the, you know, cheaper property names out there. But on the other hand, there's this expectation that RLC's earnings will already be trading at, or we already be above pre-COVID levels because of its project in Chengdu, China. Okay. And then, as always, the mall segment is the one with the more upside here because it hasn't rebounded significantly yet. So our target price for RLC is 26. For the consumer sector, FB, we raised its target price to 115 last September. Of course, another reopening winner because of its cash cow, the brewery business. Of course, yung San Mig brewery business benefits from more social gatherings, the lack of liquor bans, right? If people can go to the beach, if people can go to outdoor dining at the evening, there's more room for social gatherings that benefits the brewery business, right? And then the food segment has so far delivered strong performance, particularly in the prepared packaged food segment. As we look ahead, we expect a tapering pantry loading behavior to be offset by the return of institutional sales volumes as food services come back along with further economic reopening. So we expect strong demand in the poultry segment. So the food business and the brewery business are expected to rebound. And then for RHI, one of the listed names that are significantly exposed to malls, most of its segments are exposed to malls, the department stores, right, the hardware stores, the specialty stores like the toy stores, pet stores, those are heavily exposed to malls. So once malls do reopen and once kids are allowed to go to the malls, once there's more confidence, especially coming ahead of the holiday season, that benefits RHI. So our target price for RHI is 81, a lot more room to rally here. So something to take advantage of. And then we have a new buy pick. So we actually have two new buy picks in the REIT sector. For RCR, RL Commercial REIT, we have a target price of 7.52. Okay. Basically, we estimate that RCR can easily raise up to 32 billion to fund its value accretive acquisitions. And there's more room for the company to infuse assets. That's the key here. Once the company infuses more assets, there's more room for its earnings to increase and eventually its dividend yield to increase also, right? So our target price is 7.52. If you combine both the share price appreciation plus the expected dividends, that's double digit in terms of total return. So RCR target price is 7.52. So there's still room to accumulate. So another is Phil REIT. For Phil REIT, 7.72 is our target price. The REIT's high tenant retention rate is a result of its large portfolio of prime grade A PESA accredited spaces. So it's something of a good investment, especially for more conservative investors out there. Okay. And then we also expect the companies or the REIT's distributable income to grow by 3.4% compounded annual growth rate from 2021 to 2023. So driven by an improvement in occupancy rates and resumption of annual rental escalations in the next 2 to 3 years. It's okay. So two of our three new picks this month are REITs. And then another new buy pick of ours is Converge. For Converge, our target price is 41 pesos. So there's no denying how much of a growth prospects there are for Converge. The next question is, how much room there is in terms of upside. We think there's still upside for the stock. Okay. Despite it being relatively expensive, there's this huge room to grow. Especially Converge is poised to catalyze fiber broadband penetration in the country, securing a 1-year or multi-year runway of opportunities fueled by outsized demand for high-speed data and connectivity, while at the same time garnering untapped market share and connecting more people to the internet. For Monday Nissan, actually our target price for Monday Nissan is 23 pesos already, okay? So for Monday Nissan, we've discussed this for several months already, especially the how stable the Asia-Pacific business is and how we expect the meat alternative segment to really outperform in the coming years, especially with the better for you, better for the planet sustainability advocates, especially in the post-COVID world. But one reason for us being positive on the stock because of its possibility to be included in the major benchmark indices, specifically MSCI and PSCI. Okay. So reasons are large market cap, high trading liquidity, and no foreign ownership limits. So as early as November, Monday could already be included in MSCI, right? And then in Feb, it could be included in the PSCI. Okay. So Monday, something to take advantage of. And then this is one of our, you know, previous picks. So one is BDO. So for BDO, it's a target price of 162 pesos. Basically, it's still trading at a steep discount despite its prospects of further economic reopening. So as credit quality concerns ease, BDO's discount to historical valuation should narrow. So the bottom line here is the banking sector are cheap. So this is the same reason why we like PPI. We have a target price of 105 pesos. So you expect loan growth to pick up, right, this year and next year. So as the country continues to further reopen, there's more room for loan growth to pick up. There, and as always, SM is still our top pick because of its exposure to the sectors of property, retail, and banking, where we anticipate recovery to be robust. And you will notice SM is, you know, somewhat, in terms of price volatility, it's not that volatile. So you can expect more upside and yet less volatile of a stock. So these are our, you know, top picks, right, though. So as of October 29, for those listeners to our podcast, I'm showing here a slide where the picks we just mentioned, what are their share price as of October 29, our target price and our upside. So I will mention the upside for the listeners out there. For SM, there's still 30% upside. For Ayala Land, 45%. For SMPH, 26%. For RLC, 52%. For FB, 51%. For RHI, 33%. For BDO, 30%. For BPI, 20%. For Monday, 42%. For Converge, 28%. For RCR, 7.5%. For PhilReit, 4.3%. For the REITs, keep in mind, if we add the expected dividend yield, that could be a double-digit percent upside. Okay, so what I just mentioned are the share price appreciation upside. And then this is our model report. This shows our top picks since the start of the year. So for compared to the PSCI, just down by negative 1.2%. So nevertheless, the upside is there and we remain confident on our picks moving forward. And then for Traders Playbook, so we highlighted a couple of our write-ups for the month of October. So versus MPI, in terms of share price, initially it was already hovering near its pre-pandemic resistance levels of 4.20. Of course, it pulled back in the last week of October. But nevertheless, we expect a huge upside once MPI breaks above 4.20. It can't be stressed enough that MPI is one of the cheapest holding companies out there, right? But nevertheless, there's huge upside, especially once there's more vehicle traffic. So that could benefit the tollways business. It's also exposed in the energy business, Meralco. So once restaurants further reopen, the commercial segment of the energy distribution business could, you know, grow further. Okay. And then Maynila, of course, there's this concession agreement already, you know, negotiated. So that's the upside that could limit the risk or the regulatory risk in the company. And then this is somewhat of a more technical play. So ACE and XOR. So this is a lower market cap company. But nevertheless, if you take a look at our report, we saw that there's a breakout from its double bottom pattern for ACE and XOR, ASEX. So the bottom line here, the target price for ACE and XOR is until 20.30 pesos. So for us, you can accumulate it until 18.50. You can set your cut loss below 7.50 and take profits at 20.30 until 21. So that's basically the gist of that report. And this is our Traders Playbook hit ratio year to date. Given the strong past couple of months in the market, our hit ratio further improved. So we're proud to say that we're continuing to outperform against the PSCI. 7.7% performance of our playbook compared to the PSCI down by 1.2%. And again, the hit ratio is 73%. So more than 7 reports out of 10 are correct and outperforming the PSCI. We also create sell calls for Wilcon very recently because we thought it was too high. In the history of post-PSCI inclusion, we expected the stock to pull back a bit. So that was successful for us last month. So before we move on to the question and answer portion, we would like to share with you some podcasts that we have. So we have a podcast in Spotify, Apple, and Google. So we're proud to share with you that we were top-ranked PH business podcast at one point. And then at one point in the Spotify, we had 21st in terms of trending podcasts in the Philippines. So in terms of our latest podcast that we publish a property sector outlook with Colliers Philippines. So something to listen to. It's very important, especially right now. Not they're not only advising on investments in terms of, you know, equities. Actually, more of the investments towards real estate, industrial segments, office. So it's good to hear, especially for the business owners out there, right? It's good to listen. Okay, so good afternoon, everyone. Let's answer your questions. So first question is, some analysts are saying that there will be a shakeout first before the breakout. So what factors could cause the shakeout? And will we see a similarity compared to what happened last year when the PSA fell to 4,000, 5,000 level? Okay. Well, yeah, in terms of shakeout, I think if there could be a shakeout, it's mostly related to inflation. Global inflation is quite high. Okay, it's hitting multi-year highs. So that could be a reason for further correction moving forward. But assuming inflation and COVID-19 are the problems right now, assuming that they are the only problems right now, I don't think the PSA will fall to 5,000 or 4,000 level. Okay. That's why it's very important to pinpoint which sectors will outperform in the coming years. And for us, it's the property sector, banking sector, holding sector will outperform there. Yeah, I think this First MetroSec offered the SGP FOO. I think for First MetroSec, it's already done. It's earlier part of this week, right? So for more updates in the upcoming IPO or FOO, just like our Facebook page. If you're a client, please join our Viber group. Please join our Facebook group. We always announce there updates in terms of upcoming IPOs, FOOs, and other events that we have. Okay, so this is a good question. Ano pong effect niya sa SGP price na 12 pesong FOO pero ang current price niya is almost 400 pesos? Well, keep in mind, just this concept, no? Kasi, nag-close si SGP, right? 390 pesos. Pero nag-change siya ng par value. The bottom line is, since nag-change siya ng par value, the 390 pesos is now 39 pesos. But the value or the market cap of the stock did not change. Nag-change siya ng par value. So, kumbaga, bumaba lang yung face value ng price niya. So, from 390, it's now 39 pesos. Let's talk about the ano naman. So, from 39 pesos, the FOO is 12 pesos. So, at that looking at that comparison, mas comparable na siya. Pero at the end of the day, ang layo niya pa rin from the 39 pesos, right? So, that's why it was mentioned earlier in the SGP slide that the valuation of SGP at its FOO price at 12 pesos is cheap already, right? That's why it's something to consider, especially for long-term investors out there, that you're indirectly investing in the sole transmission operator in the country at a cheap price. Okay, why do you think that Monday will be added to MSCI instead of Philcon, Converger, ACN? So yeah, I just mentioned Monday, ACN Energy could be included. Actually, Converge could also be included in the MSCI. I think Philcon is already included in the small cap, if I'm not mistaken. So Philcon's already part of the MSCI, but Converge, ACN Energy, Monday, it's a possibility that they could be added in the MSCI in the month of November. So that's something to watch out. But of course, diba? That could also lead to a market-wide correction because fund managers have to make room. Because at the end of the day, they have limited money. So although they have a lot of money, they have unlimited money to go around. That's why they have to make room for those entering the MSCI and they have to, you know, partially sell the other names. That's why it could lead to a temporary pullback in the market. So that could be an advantage because the MSCI rebalancing before, that went that way. That was the occurrence. So, but right after, diba, the market rebounded. So that's something to take advantage of. But to answer your question, Monday, Converge, ACNG could be part of the MSCI as early as November. In terms of the REIT's dividend yield, especially for the ones that we are observing for A-REIT, PhilReIT, and M-REIT, I think it's in line so far. But I think what we're looking forward to is, since especially M-REIT and RCR plans to infuse more assets into the company, there could be room for dividend yield growth, diba? So besides share price appreciation, there could be dividend yield growth. So that's like that's significantly positive for the REIT. And you saw what happened with A-REIT, diba? With A-REIT, that's the scenario. What the company did is they infused more assets into A-REIT, tumaas yung share price, tapos na-maintain niya yung dividend yield niya. So panalong-panalo for the investors? Oh, this is a good question. So what's your opinion on companies slashing their IPO FO price to the lower end? So for example, Allday and Keeper, diba? Is it just a strategy to make prices seem cheaper, possible concern to look for moving forward? So, well, in regards to that question, I think at the end of the day, kasi, diba, usually kasi at the start of your offering, pag nag-IPO yung company, ginagage niya yung demand eh. It's gauging demand. So of course, in the gauging demand phase, you're also hearing advice from investors, you're also hearing advice from your investment bank, right? So that being said, after those recent hearing or guidance, you come up with the conclusion that, okay, this is the best IPO price or FO price that I should go with. So it's sort of coincidence lang na nalalagay to the lower end. Usually kasi naglo-lower end yung mga companies na nag-IPO FO pag pangit yung market. But you know, the market has improved naman, right? But it's a coincidence that napupunta lang to the lower end yung mga IPO price at FO price. So at the end of the day, it's not, it could be a strategy, but if you ask me, it's more of gauging demand, right, from investors and the investment bank on what's the optimal price. Because if sobrang taas naman ang price nila, they could be deemed as expensive. Diba? So wala na masyadong bibili. So at the end of the day, they want demand. At the end of the day, they want demand. So they saw demand at a lower IPO price that could benefit them in the long term. So it's more of that. Yeah. If Monday gets included in the PSCI next Feb, which company could be probably removed? That's a good question, right? We are yet to estimate right now because it's hard to estimate right now who will get removed. Because to be accurate about it, we have to estimate at nearer to Feb. At around January, dun kami mag-estimate kung sino matatanggal. But for us, in our view, definitely there's a huge probability that Monday will be added. Okay, so yeah, let's continue to talk within the next couple of months. And then probably I could tell you at that point which stock will probably get removed. But at this point, as a buyer, it's good to know which stock will likely be added. Because at this point, you could start accumulating already. So which sector is the biggest laggard? Well, at this point, the laggard continues to be the property and banking sector. Yeah, we saw some slight outperformance in the month of October, but year to date, sila pa rin yung laggard, property and banking. Yeah, it's a good question. For Converge, based on the previous reports, diba, there was a recommendation to buy at a cap price. But right now, kasi we're seeing support levels already, diba, if you're looking at technical analysis. So it seems like we actually published another report earlier today, October 29. So it's more of a buy on breakout already. Buy above the 50-day MA. The 50-day MA kasi acted as a support. And now it's below the 50-day MA. For the stock to turn positive again, it must go back above the 50-day MA. So that's basically our thesis for Converge on a technical analysis perspective. But on the fundamental analysis perspective, you saw our reasoning earlier. That there's still upside, especially that there's a lot of underpenetrated areas that Converge can, enter. In terms of the possible effect of Evergrande to PSA, it's minimal. Because a lot of people are comparing Evergrande effect to the Lehman Brothers occurrence last 2008. But Evergrande kasi has, while it's exposed to a lot of banks, even international banks, in terms of its effect to other industries, globally, it's minimal. So mostly, if it really worsens, it's mostly effect on China, right? But again, if China has a problem, pwede maapekto yung buong Asian markets, including Philippines. So that could be it. But in terms of how it can affect industries in the Philippines, not so much. It's more of market sentiment. So isn't RCR already topish? I think kasi, if you ask me, pag REITs kasi, I tend to look more on the fundamentals rather than technicals. Kasi REITs are like dividend plays. They are like preferred shares. Usually naman, pag preferred shares, you don't look at the technicals. You really look at the dividend yield growth. Diba? Nung 30 pesos pa lang siya, if I assume it would be topish, mag-sell na ako. But lo and behold, nag 40 pesos na siya, 42, right? So for REITs, I tend to look more on the fundamental side of it. That there's room for dividend yield growth. There's room for more infusion of assets on select REITs. So that's where I'm gonna focus at right now, if you ask me. And RCR, topish fundamentals wise, not di pa malayo pa siya. There's more room for it to rally. Yeah, okay. What are my thoughts on All Day? For All Day kasi, I think given the huge demand, I think it's 10 times oversubscribed. It could be a Merrimart occurrence. It could be an occurrence where it could rally when it's trading, right? But once it gets really, really expensive, pwede siya mag-correct and then mag-normalize yung price niya. Just like Merrimart, diba yung Merrimart from 1 peso, I think nag 7 pesos, but right now nag-normalize na lang siya below 4. Right? I think that could be the scenario for All Day, especially, diba? Di naman siya tuloy-tuloy akyat, especially once investors really come into the stock, they will not continue to buy until the expansion of the company is successful. So of course, All Day has that opportunity to become successful in terms of its expansion, but I think investors would want to see first how it will expand. But if you ask me, sa first week of its listing date, there's huge probability it will rally given the oversubscription. Okay? But you have to be careful. You don't need to be greedy on this stock. If you're happy, take profit. Just keep in mind that All Day has some growth prospects, but at the end of the day, meron rin tayong tinatawag na, okay, mahal na siya. So, but at this point, there's room for it to rally kasi next week nil listing, right? So, let's watch it first. Okay, but learn to take profit. Learn to use the features of First MetroSec, yung conditional order, para hindi maubos yung gains nyo just in case it rallies. Okay, so good question. So despite big projects mentioned, Manila Water hasn't given out dividends since 2019. So any insight on the possibility of dividend payments returning? So it hasn't given out dividends since 2019 because diba mayroong mga uncertainty sa concession agreements niya at that time. So right now, probably next year or moving forward, since meron ng concession agreement na negotiated, meron ng earnings visibility yung company. That's why it could give out dividends moving forward. Okay, so to answer your question, there is a possibility of dividend payments returning. So probably next year. Right. Yeah. Okay. So how about Megawide? How about Megawide as it has been going down continuously? So for Megawide kasi, diba, it's both construction and airport operations. Yung airport operations kasi, yun yung naglalag pa. The construction sector has been picking up already. But the airport operations side, yun yung dun magagaling yung upside moving forward as the economy further reopens. That's why it's something to hold, right? But just keep it at a minimal exposure for now. But it's good to hold. Put on your watch list, or if you're holding it right now, just hold. Right? So there. Because there's upside for that stock naman. Especially airport operation side. So is the DMC's SEC rally over already, or can they sustain their growth through Q4 even with the regulation of coal prices in China? So that's a good question. So for at the end of the day kasi, even if you regulate, you know, coal prices, at the end of the day, there's demand for coal, especially sa China. The economy is picking up since reopen na sila, so the economy is trying to catch up. And globally, that's the case. Globally, that's the case where economy is trying to catch up, so they need coal. Some of the countries still need coal, kahit meron ng renewable promises, right? But some countries still need coal, so there's demand, and SEC has that supply to really to import coal. So if you ask us, they can sustain their growth in the fourth quarter. But given the sharp performance in the third quarter, there could still be growth in the coming quarters, pero baka decelerating na. But nevertheless, growth is still there. So yeah, just continue to observe our traders playbook on those companies. So it's for us, it's a buy and pullbacks on those two companies. So there. Okay. So one last question here is, would it be advisable to invest in travel stocks such as Cebu Pacific given that reopening may happen soon? Well, for us, just like Megawide, it's good to put Cebu Pacific on your watch list, right? Travel stocks will probably rebound too. But I think the mall-related names, the property banking sector names will rally first and then the travel. Because, of course, syempre, yung confidence will dapat magkaroon muna ng confidence to roam around locally, diba? Tapos, there will be that enough confidence to travel already out of town or overseas, right? So, for us, Cebu Pacific, you can accumulate Cebu Pacific, right? But I think you should prioritize first the property banking names. For Cebu Pacific, definitely may upside yan. But yung problem mo, ang taas ng oil prices mo right now, tapos wala pa masyadong demand. So it's kind of a double whammy for them right now. But again, moving forward, there's room for improvement, definitely. So it's something to put on your watch list. So there. So that's it for this month's market wrap-up. So I'm going to see you in a month to talk about what happened in November and what to watch out for December. So for now, please take a look at our events and podcasts for you guys to catch up on what's happening with the market. So thank you. As always, this has been Royce Aguilar, Equity Research Analyst. As always with First MetroSec, it's hashtag your future first.
Thanks for listening to First Metro Securities Philippine Stock Market Weekly Podcast. Don't forget to follow us to get first dibs on our new episodes. For more up-to-date market news and info, exclusive content, and the opportunity to connect with your fellow Filipino investors and traders, join facebook.com/groups/FirstMetroSec and be part of the First MetroSec family.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.